The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin,
turn the volume up,
and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back this evening to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, hour number two. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and we are here warm, cozy inside the Quicken Loans studios in Houston, Texas. And I tell you one thing that is heating up, and that is college basketball. There is a good chance in the next week or so you're going to be filling out your tournament bracket for an office pool or staying close to the TV. I bet most importantly, you need to be staying right here at yahoosportsradio.com. To be honest, I know kind of a guessing game to figure out as far as your brackets, the selection, and the analysis. So we have invited on, he is providing the helping hand tonight, Gregory Peterson. He is a bractologist with dudesonsports.com, and he's a big-time college basketball enthusiast. Hello, Greg. It's good to have you with us tonight.
Great to be on. Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome in. This is certainly, I have to share with you, Greg, it is one of my favorite times of the year. I love seeing underdogs come into the tournament, you know, the dark horse, you know, pulling off an upset, anything like that. But you have been very successful and very accurate to selecting so many of the teams and as far as filling out the bracket. What is the formula to success? Talk to our listeners tonight. They need some help.
The biggest thing for looking for a specific formula for success, it goes into a couple things. You have to look at how the team has done throughout the years. Typically, whenever you see a team pull off a big upset, they've had a lot of wins in their past, and they typically played a good team tough throughout the year. You may remember Norfolk State from 2 years ago. They played Marquette to like a three-point game earlier in that season, and thus they had the experience to be able to beat Missouri. You may recall Cornell a couple years ago. They made that Sweet 16 run. They had all seniors on their team. So if you're looking to pick that big upset, look for senior teams that have played against good competition, because while it's cliche that seniors have all the experience, it really is true. Whenever a team has played against good competition and have that experience, they are more likely to be able to spring that big upset.
Well, Gregory, I have to brag on you because, what, it was in 2012. You did pick Norfolk State over Missouri. That was 2 years ago.
Right on my radio show.
Yeah, I mean, how did you know?
I just saw the way that they played Marquette. Being based in Wisconsin, I got a very good chance to see Marquette. I knew that they were a good team. And I saw this Norfolk State team, and they had a guy by the name of Kyle O'Quinn. He had NBA potential, in my opinion, and he was selected in the second round of the NBA draft the following year. And I felt that with one good player and having all of that leadership on that team, that they could make that run. And just so happened that I was right on that big upset.
And, of course, you finished in the top 50 out of over 2 million brackets on ESPN's Bracket Challenge.
Yep, that was back in 2005. I was a little guy. I really wanted Wisconsin to make a deep run, and their second-round matchup was supposed to be against Kansas, but Kansas that year was playing a school by the name of Bucknell, and I picked Bucknell to win because they had beaten a top-10 team on the road in Pittsburgh. turns out Bucknell won the game, and I have been a Bucknell faithful ever since.
We are doing a Q&A with bracketologist Gregory Peterson from dudesonsports.com. We want to encourage you to go out and check out their website. How did you get started in all of this and your love for March Madness, Greg?
My love for March Madness is just seeing all these college kids that don't get paid, and they just really lay it all out there. I really got started with it about 10 years ago, and I've been following it ever since. I always love to see the little dogs succeed because I feel like it's a little bit of a part of my own life with doing all of my broadcasting and everything, and I'd love to see the little guy pull it off, and that has been the theme of the NCAA tournament the past couple of years. You've seen it with teams like George Mason and BCU making Final Four runs, Butler making it to the national championship, and these are all schools that have massive disadvantages to these bigger schools that they're playing, like UConn, losing to George Mason, and BCU knocking off Kansas to go to the Final Four.
Okay, Greg, so who do you have in this year's Final Four?
Oh, man, this is a loaded question because there are like 20, 25.
Come on, Greg, bring it.
Final Four.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go out on a limb on this one and say Michigan State. Tom Izzo, in his time at Michigan State, has never had a senior class that has missed the Final Four. If Michigan State does not make it this year, this would be the first, so I am not betting against Tom Izzo. Second team I'm picking is Florida. They have been rolling as of late. They have all their pieces. Their only two losses this year were at Wisconsin and at UConn, and the UConn game was pretty much a fluky game to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
The third team I'm going to go with is Duke because they have, in my opinion, the best player in college basketball. Jabari Parker started out as a small forward sort of player. He's evolved and become a player that can play the 3, 4, or 5 position. And Duke has just been rolling as of late. And then the final team I'm going to pick is Wichita State. They haven't lost all year long, and they made the Final Four last year. They have 3 players that can play in the NBA, Cle'Anthony Early, Fred VanVleet, and Ron Baker. So I think this year the Shockers will shock some people and make back-to-back Final Fours, kind of like Butler did a couple years ago.
You know, at your website, dudesonsports.com, you did a nice job of breakdown for the NCAA tournament, the Bubble Watch. Kind of break that down for us. And right at the top, you had Oklahoma State. I mean, this is a team that certainly is headed in the right direction after losing 7 straight games. But they have righted the ship, as you say, and now with the return of Marcus Smart.
Oh, they certainly have. After losing those 7 straight games, this team looked like they were going to be right on the bubble. But they've got 4 wins in a row. Their first 2 weren't very impressive, but they pull off a huge win against Kansas on Saturday. Kansas is right now 1 seed in my bracket, so that obviously helps. And then they beat Kansas State as well. This is a team that has played very well at home. They've been a little bit shaky on the road, but they also have a good non-conference schedule, and that was highlighted with a win against Memphis earlier this year. You may recall Oklahoma State was in the top 5 earlier this year. They started out the year 16-3 before they went on that ugly slide, and this is a team that's really found its identity in the past couple of weeks. Since the suspension to Marcus Smart, they're now going with a 3-guard rotation, and that has went very well for them.
Greg Peterson, you're listening to The Voice. He's the lead contributor with dudesonsports.com, and of course, he's a bracketologist, and you've got to give some love quickly to my Oklahoma Sooners. Come on, Greg, what do you think about the job that Lon Kruger's done?
Lon Kruger has done an absolutely fantastic job with this team. You may remember a couple years ago in the Maui Invitational, this Oklahoma team lost to a Division II team named Chaminade. So Lon Kruger has done a fantastic job. They've got a very good group of players. They've got a couple seniors in there, mainly their forward play, but they also have some good guard play as well. Clark has been very good for this team. They've got balanced scoring. They've got some good rebounding. Right now, I think that they're going to be a 6 seed. They really didn't do a whole lot out of conference, but in conference, they have a sweep against Texas. They've got big wins against the likes of Kansas State, Oklahoma State. So this is an Oklahoma team that, in my opinion, can win a couple games in the NCAA tournament and are surely heading in the right direction under Lon Kruger.
Well, Greg, and they certainly have had some quality wins, but the Big 12 Conference overall has just been tremendous this year, the depth, the competition within this particular conference. It's been a pleasure. Greg Peterson has been joining us, the lead contributor with dudesonsports.com, a bracketologist doing a fabulous job. Gregory, we are so glad you reached out to us, and we look forward to having you back on our program again real soon. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. Glad to be on.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead. YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter, @eRadioSports. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Welcome back inside the Quicken Loan Studios at YSR. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and each week it is time to go under the helmet with Husker great Jason Peter. We love getting his perspective on some of the latest news and notes in the NFL and from the college scene. We've got a number of topics that we will get into tonight, so it's a pleasure to welcome back in the Double Nickel, number 55, Jason Peter. How are you, Jay?
I'm good. How are you, E?
Well, I am doing great. This is, I have to tell you, it is one of my favorite times of the year. I know we're going to hit on some NFL, some college news and notes, but since we are in the month of March, it has been a very big week for Husker hoops. I mean, who knew? I mean, Timmy Miles is doing an outstanding job right there in Lincoln, Nebraska, and of course with the big 10-point win against Indiana this week in Bloomington.
I know. It's funny. Grant Wistrom, my old roommate and teammate, and I did an interview together earlier in the week, and people were responding into the radio show saying, "Hey, it's basketball season now. We don't need any old-timers on." So for once in a long time, Nebraska has a real basketball season going on. And Tim Miles is just, he's done a tremendous job. He really has. You know, big win against Indiana earlier the week. I know Indiana's not... you know, what they had, what they were last year,
right.
Or in the previous years, you know, they've struggled, but still, Nebraska is on the bubble here. You know, everyone's trying to pick out their nicest dress because they're hoping that we go dancing this year, but we'll wait and see.
Well, you're right, Jason, because Nebraska's not made the NCAA tournament since 1998. They are indeed one of the bubble teams, and I think what's interesting is that you look at the preseason, there was just not big expectations from this group. This was, in fact, it was considered one of the worst offensive teams in the country, and so how head coach Tim Miles has just come in there, and really, he just turned things around from this long drought that you guys have had.
Yeah, he's really done a tremendous job, I think, just getting the guys to believe and you know, also bringing in the right players. You know, they've got a kid, Taran Petaway, who people are talking about him as Big Ten Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nowhere even on the map in terms of that honor prior to the season starting. And he's just, you know, like all sports, when guys buy in and they believe in what your coach is selling, then, you know, I mean, given that the team's got some sort of talent, you know, the sky's the limit. And people were kind of hoping for these types of results maybe in, you know, his third year, fourth year, but, more, you know, kind of 4 or 5 year mark, and here we are just in year two. So, you know, they've got the beautiful new arena that they built, Pinnacle Bank Arena, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place for the Hoops team to play, and I think that's helped in terms of the enthusiasm behind the team, got people going to the games, and as a player, you obviously love to play in front of a full house. So, you know, I think it's all little bits of the puzzle being put together.
You were listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. I promise we're going to talk some football here in just a moment, but Nebraska, it truly is exciting because it's a team that in a program now that has found an identity, and they're competing in such an elite league. I mean, what's been your impression so far of the Big Ten Conference as far as basketball-wise, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's certainly, it's better at basketball than it is at football. And, you know, there's not much other than positive things. Obviously, you have a team down. I think what Michigan and Jim Beilein's been able to do there with, you know, some of the injuries that he's had, that he was dealt with, you know, and really changing the way that they play, and then ultimately finishing atop the league with, you know, over a week to play. I just think, you know, there's a lot of good things that are happening. And, you know, I don't know if it's the conference, you can't be great at football and basketball. Some people, you look at the schools, say a North Carolina, teams that Kentucky, teams that are very strong basketball wise, well, maybe not so football. And I don't know if you can take that and look at it in a bigger picture. Obviously, you always have the exception, Florida being dominant in football and then winning national titles in basketball. Ohio State has been strong, but I think for the most part, usually schools, are good at one or the other, or great at one or the other. But the Big Ten certainly a basketball conference.
Jason Peter, just with us a few more minutes at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker Campbell. Join us online at Twitter at @eRadioSports. Now, Jay, I want to get your thoughts, your perspective on the comments by head coach Lloyd Carr, as he obviously still has an axe to grind with Nebraska. Take us back, kind of give us some play-by-play on what went down as far as in terms of when you split that national championship with Michigan in 97.
Yeah, well, Michigan, ultimately, they were given the AP title. You had the AP and then you had the coaches award or the championship. And Michigan had played Ryan Leaf and Washington State in the Rose Bowl. And I think they beat them by, it was a 7-10-point game, something like that. And, I think most of the AP had come out and said, that if Michigan wins, they're voting them number one. And the coaches took a different approach, whereas they, wanted to see Nebraska play. And we went out and we absolutely throttled Tennessee. And ultimately, the coaches gave us the championship title. It's shocking to me, and maybe it's just because I'm used to Coach Osborne, but I just could not imagine, Coach coming out and, some almost 20 years later and saying, Michigan didn't deserve their title. I'm a former player. Do I think we would have steamrolled Michigan more than we did Tennessee? Absolutely. When you look at the lineups, Tennessee was star-studded. But that doesn't mean I don't think Michigan deserves their share of the title. They did everything that they were asked to do, as did we. You can point to this game or, this kick of the ball or whatever and say that, this team doesn't deserve it or whatever. But, the truth of the matter is you could go back in any game and you can find something that probably was illegal, whether it's a holding or a chop block or something. And you go back to say, well, that's illegal. So they didn't deserve the score on that play. And that ultimately would have meant that they wouldn't have beat that team. I mean, you just can't do that. It was a close game against Missouri, but ultimately we pulled it out. And it's hard for me. I guess I'll always say or always think that we were the best team. But I also understand that Michigan did everything that they needed to do as well. So it's just shocking, I guess, to hear it come out of a head coach's mouth.
Jay, we are flat out of time. We always appreciate you dropping by. We look forward to some more perspective next week at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Stay warm up there in Lincoln, Nebraska, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Much more straight ahead this weekend in hour number two of the Big East Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter at @eRadioSports, eRadioSports.com. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
The Big E.
Okay, welcome back to hour number two of the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell, and we already highlighted the NBA in hour number one with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Time now to shift our focus and our attention on the Eastern Conference, and there is no doubt, it's been talked about all year long and chronicled, the huge disparity between the Western and the Eastern Conferences. But with LeBron James scoring a career and a franchise high 61 points on Monday night against the Bobcats, that made quite a statement, so we want to get into that. And we are delighted to welcome back the senior NBA analyst with BasketballInsiders.com. Check out their work online. It is awesome. Bill Ingram. Good to have you with us tonight, Bill. Thank you so much.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Well, the NBA, the MVP race intensifies, and it is certainly one of the hot topics. What is your opinion between LeBron and KD? Who is the front runner in your mind?
Well, I think the thing with the MVP race, and it's usually this way, is you could say, you know, for a while there were three names you could throw out there when Derrick Rose was healthy, but you could say, hey, LeBron James is the MVP, and there's not much of an argument. Okay, you can say Kevin Durant's the MVP, and there's not much of an argument. You can't say, well, no, he's not, because... So what you're looking for is some small way to give one an edge over the other. And in this case, I think where you've got the Oklahoma City Thunder playing without all-star point guard Russell Westbrook for the vast majority of the season, and yet they're sitting atop the Western Conference, I think, and the fact that Kevin Durant has just been as good as he has been up to this point in his career, he's been even better, which is just amazing. That someone can continue to push themselves to new heights the way KD does. To me, it's Kevin Durant because the other side of that is, and again, we're looking for small little nuances that make the difference between one or the other to differentiate. But when Dwayne Wade doesn't play, Miami is not very good. They struggle. And that is not an indication of something where LeBron is going to pick that team up and carry them, and they'll be just as good if Dwayne Wade is not in there. Dwayne Wade is so important to the success of the Miami Heat. And I just don't think that you can have an MVP who is not the most important factor for his team. So that's kind of, again, flip a coin. They're both having MVP seasons. You can't say either one is not worthy of consideration. So you're looking for a small thing. And to me, the fact that being without Russell Westbrook made no difference because Kevin Durant just elevated his game that much more, that says a lot about Kevin Durant, and I just think, you know, that might be just enough to give him the edge in MVP voting.
Well, it is such a close race, but the last I checked on the stats, LeBron James still trails Durant in scoring and player efficiency. How much does that factor into it?
I think that's some, but honestly, when the voting comes for MVP, they're not looking at PER, they're not looking at, there's going to be a little bit of emotion involved, there's going to be a little politics involved. You know, LeBron has been MVP a few times, Kevin Durant has been just as good.
Four times.
And just hasn't won. So I also think the fact that KD doesn't have his MVP will influence the fact that with the season he's having, they're going to say, yeah, it's Kevin Durant's year.
So let's give some love to LeBron James. As I mentioned in the open, a franchise high, 61 points on Monday night against the Bobcat. That type of a performance, Bill, where does that rank among some of his all-time greatest games? I mean, you've covered him for so many years.
Okay. Definitely up there for LeBron personally. Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's too bad it didn't come in a game seven of the finals or something where it was a game that really meant something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're talking about the best team in the Eastern Conference, or at least the reigning Eastern Conference champion, taking out one of the teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. So, you know, should he go for 61 against Charlotte? I mean, it's kind of, and you mentioned in the opening the disparity in the talent in the East. The top is so much better than the bottom that, Charlotte wouldn't be a playoff team in the Western Conference. So having a great game against a fairly, I don't want to say they're terrible, they're not terrible, but a team that's not very good, it's hard for me to see that as something that you sort of highlight and hang a feather on because of just the number. I think the situation matters too.
You know, it was interesting because I watched postgame, and of course, head coach Eric Spoelstra, he was quick to point out, the fact that LeBron had 61 points, but LeBron is more than that. He is a facilitator. He's a creator. So my question to you is, Bill, should he consider being more selfish?
Well, there's no question. There's no question that when you have the kind of talent that he has and the ability that he has, and I mean, just the way when Shaq was in his prime, there was no one in the NBA that could guard him. He was bigger, he was stronger than everybody. And LeBron, when he decides he's getting to the hole, he's getting to the hole, and there's no one that can stop him. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
When he's determined that he's just going to impose his will. But he chooses not to do that a lot of times. And I think that's, if there's one thing about LeBron that's really a head scratcher, it's what has to happen for him to decide that it's time to turn it on. Because so much of the time you're watching him and it's like, well, is he gonna do it? Is he gonna play? Is he gonna score? Or what's he's gonna stand around? He's gonna take a crazy three pointer instead of driving to the hole. I mean, that's sort of the factor. And that in a nutshell is Miami too. because when you talk about can Miami get past, say, Indiana in the Eastern Conference, like, well, can they? Yes, I think they can, but it depends on whether that's, whatever that is, that light switch that has to turn on for LeBron to play in beast mode, that has to turn on, and it doesn't always. And if it doesn't turn on four times in that Eastern Conference final series, they won't advance to the finals because Indiana's going to bring it every night.
Absolutely. Hey, so Bill Ingram is with us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's the senior NBA analyst with BasketballInsiders.com. I want to encourage you to go and check out some of his work. And Bill, I know your latest post, five reasons why to watch the Eastern Conference. Kind of break that down for us.
Yeah, well, I think for most of the season, it's been, well, if it's not Indiana versus Miami, I'm not watching it. I mean, me personally, as an analyst who covers the league, if it's not those two teams playing each other, if it's, you know, Indiana's playing, name another team, Milwaukee or, you know, any Detroit, like, who cares? Yawn. They're either going to blow them out or they're, if the other team has a shot, it's only if Indiana decides they don't care and they're not really focused. So, but what we have seen is over the last really month, a couple of teams have gotten pretty interesting. One of those, when Toronto traded Rudy Gay, and then they were working to trade Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, the idea was they were going to tank for a lottery position in what promises to be a franchise-changing draft this summer. And what happened instead, before they could trade DeRozan and Lowry, the team started playing so well that they decided not to break it up. And now they're, you know, pushing a third seed in the Eastern Conference. So there's one. Then you have Chicago, a team that lost Derrick Rose very early for the season. Then they trade Luol Deng, and again you're thinking, okay, Chicago's throwing it in. They're going to rebuild. They're going to look for one of these draft picks. And instead they keep winning, and they're in the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. So you've got two teams that set out to sort of tank, and instead they're both very, very, you know, they've played very, very well, and they're sitting in a position to have home court advantage in the playoffs. So the other thing is Charlotte has only made the playoffs once in franchise history, and they are on course to make it again. Al Jefferson has been a brilliant addition. The coaching change has been fantastic. And management is finally starting to put some nice pieces in there that you could build around long term. I also put Indiana on that list, and not for the reason you think. Yes, they're the dominant team in the East. But the fact that they traded Danny Granger, who was such a huge part of their chemistry. He's the one that helped them rebound from the brawl era. He's the guy that kind of brought them back into the hearts and minds of fans. The fact that they traded him for Evan Turner is a risk. It's risky because Evan Turner is not a chemistry guy. He's healthy, which Danny Granger is not. Danny Granger's knee is such that he really is going to do well to contribute at all. Whereas Evan Turner has proven that he can be a high-level scorer in the NBA. So there's a risk there, but there's also the chance that he could be the piece once he gets into the groove with Indiana. Evan Turner could be the guy that puts them over the top. You've got a tremendous scoring force off the bench. So there are plenty of reasons to watch the Eastern Conference, even though, you know, for the most part, you know it's coming down to Indiana and Miami, and one of those teams will be in the finals, and more than likely it's going to be Miami. We can kind of predict some things, but as we wait to get to that point, there are some situations to watch that could prove to be interesting.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Evan Turner, because, and I wanted to hear your evaluation on him, because he really does strengthen their bench, because that's the one area that the Pacers, that they've got to have a little bit more depth, especially not only making a run, but to try to win it all this year.
Yeah, and you can't have Paul George playing 45 minutes all the way up to the finals. And as you mentioned, the bench was the one shortcoming, and what have they done? They added Luis Scola, and he's great. He's a solid defender, and he can score also, certainly put some points on the board. Spell, you know, some of their front, he can play really either front court position depending on the matchup, but mostly he's going to score spell David West. So you've got yet another guy off the bench that adds that depth that can be so important, as we've seen. Year after year, somebody off the bench plays a big role. And so you've got to have an arsenal of weapons that at any time someone could step in and be the reason you win a series. And Evan Turner is that kind of player.
The NBA regular season is quickly wrapping up, and the playoff picture is coming into focus. And we've been breaking it all down with Bill Ingram, the senior NBA analyst with BasketballInsiders.com. Go online, check out his work. It's outstanding. And Bill, always a pleasure. You stay warm up there in Dallas, okay?
stay warm or stay cool, depending on what the what the weather's doing today.
So, oh, it's
always
good.
A pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll see you real soon. Thanks, Bill.
You bet.
Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show this evening. And the NCAA Tournament and March Madness, it is rapidly approaching. And in our final segment tonight, we will examine some of the teams that are trending in the right direction at the perfect time and who might be capable of a surprise. We also will highlight teams that have really exceeded expectations this year. And it is such a pleasure to introduce and welcome in this evening Mo Cassera. He's an ESPN analyst. He's the former head coach at Hofstra. And it's such a pleasure to have you with us because I know this is the time of year, Mo, that really gets your blood pumping. You got to love it.
It sure does. It's an exciting time of year, and it's a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Well, we want to get a quick primer and a breakdown for some of the listeners that are just, you know, joining in and coming on board with all the March Madness and tuning into the hoop action. And one team in particular, I know, Mo, that you have covered with ESPN this year, has been SMU. What is your thoughts on the Mustangs and just the job that Larry Brown has done and how he's transformed them into one of college basketball's nationally ranked teams and one of the best?
One of the things that Larry has done is not only built and put together a very good team this year, but he's now built a very good program. And I think that's really important to point out. He's only been there a short time, but he and his staff and the university have been able to get a lot of talent, build them together, and play in what's a really competitive league this year, a league that I think is going to get five teams in the NCAA tournament.
So when you break them down, when you look at SMU, why are they such a dangerous team? I mean, they have the depth, the style, but what are they doing? Because they have proven that they're capable of beating anybody on any given night.
They sure are. They had a tough loss against Louisville the other day, but I think it starts with a Hall of Fame head coach. When you have somebody like that who's at the reins and has been in so many close games and at so many different levels, I think that certainly helps and puts you in a great position to be successful in March, but they've been able to back themselves up with some transfers, some freshmen, some depth, and some very highly recruited kids. And that combination over time now has put them in a position to be very successful in what's been, as I mentioned, a very, very good league. So I'm excited to watch SMU. I think they're a team that can win some games in the NCAA tournament. And they have a lot of potential on that program.
ESPN analyst Mo Cassera is joining us this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Join us online at Twitter at eRadioSports, eRadioSports.com. We don't want to get too far into the interview. Mo, tell off our listeners where they can go and check out some of your work online, too.
Well, they can follow me on Twitter and certainly on Facebook, Coach Mo Cassera. I do a lot of social media stuff and have been working for ESPN throughout the year, and had a chance to cover a lot of teams here in the Northeast. I'm up here in very cold New York today, but had a chance to cover a lot of teams throughout the Northeast. It's been an exciting year of college basketball. I think it's going to be a very exciting March.
It really is. And Larry Brown, of course, let's continue with our conversation there. Second year at SMU, and he really, the one thing that stands out of my mind and is my takeaway is he's got his team playing just some outstanding defense. They play that type of defense with such conviction. And when you have that, you're able to go on the road, go into Storrs, Connecticut, and pull off an upset against UConn like they did in January.
No question. And as we mentioned earlier, I think those are the type of teams that can be very successful in March. I love teams that really can defend as a team and have individual guys that can really defend. I had a chance to see Larry Brown and their staff and team early in the fall. I went down and watched them practice and spent a little time in Dallas. Had an opportunity to actually coach against them the previous year. What they're doing there is tremendous, and I know a lot of people in Texas and a lot of people around the country now are starting to watch.
And what's the atmosphere like there at SMU, at Moody Coliseum?
Exciting. I mean, new facility, a lot of upgraded facilities. You could just see the passion and excitement when they played Louisville the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody at Louisville or probably in the American Conference thought that that game was going to be such a highly touted game as the league began and the season started. But what SMU has been able to do throughout the year is really incredible.
We are going one-on-one with Mo Cassera this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to kind of transition around a little bit and hit on a number of conferences. But who do you believe, in your mind, is the top when you talk about men's college basketball? I mean, the Big 12 has just been phenomenal this year, really from top to bottom. But is the Big 10 your top pick?
I think the Big 12 across the board has been the best league in the country. I really like the Big 10 as well. I think some of the teams, especially the way Michigan's playing right now, they're playing just tremendous basketball. John Beilein has done a wonderful job at Michigan. And I really like Wisconsin, what they've done. They've been able to go out of conference and win games. They've obviously been able to win a lot of games in their conference. Those are two teams in the Big Ten that I like. But Big 12 and Big Ten, I think across the board, have probably been the deepest and probably have the best teams.
Well, and how about Nebraska out of the Big Ten Conference? We were talking about that earlier with Husker great Jason Peter, just the excitement there in Lincoln, Nebraska now, and just how Tim Miles has really turned that program around.
No question. Always exciting to see teams that you don't normally see or talk about a lot in March, and Nebraska's a great story across the country. Very excited for them. They obviously have a long football tradition, but they're playing some awful good basketball right now.
Well, we are going one-on-one with Mo Cassera this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, and obviously talking about the Big Ten Conference. But the Big 12, what have you seen out of Lon Kruger's program with Oklahoma and what he's been able to accomplish? Because we were debating this even earlier on the program, that really perhaps he will be the Big 12 Conference Coach of the Year, just what he's been able to accomplish, because he didn't have a lot of big stars coming into this season.
He certainly didn't. And one thing Lon Kruger's been able to do throughout his career is get players better. I've watched his teams. He's won everywhere he's been. He actually has a couple of New York kids. He has a New York kid on his team that I've watched that was not highly recruited, who's gotten better and better, than Isaiah Cousins. Love what they've been able to do there and kind of transform that program through a transition of having some down years. Certainly my vote for Coach of the Year, and his team has done some tremendous things as well.
Okay, but what about Iowa State? They certainly came out so fast out of the gates at the start of the Big 12 Conference season and really surprised a lot of folks. Had that unblemished record for a tremendous stretch. Where do you see them at this point in this season?
One of the important things about winning in March is playing well at the right time.
Right.
A team like Louisville, for example. Coach Pitino didn't hear a lot about them maybe in December or maybe early January. They're just kind of on the back burner. But, boy, are they playing well now. Iowa State, on the other hand, was a team that, you know, early part of the season, unblemished record, playing very well. You know, Fred Hoiberg's done a great job there at Ames. But they're a team right now that's kind of limping into the tournament a little bit. Had some good wins, a little up and down. Now, that doesn't mean you can't turn around. Conference tournament's a great time to kind of have a fresh slate. I always said that as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a brand new season. Throw all the records out. Throw the ups and downs out. Take Iowa State, for example. I think for them, they've got enough talent. They've got a great coaching staff. They're the type of team. Throw out some of the ups and downs through February and maybe January and now say, hey, clean slate. We've got enough talent to win our conference tournament and then head into that big dance with a lot of confidence and momentum. And that's the key. Those are the teams that usually win, the teams that go in with a lot of confidence and momentum.
Well, Mo, you're exactly right. You can't take anything for granted. We just think what happened a week ago. You know, Bill Self, the Jayhawks go into Stillwater, and they get knocked off by Oklahoma State. I mean, Marcus Mark, his return, I mean, it certainly was impressive. But they have appeared at times. Now they have, what, 7 losses on the season, but they have appeared vulnerable.
They sure have. Now, I think part of that, too, is they have some youth. You know, they obviously have a lot of talent, but they've got some youth. And youth struggles on the road at times. Youth struggles with the grinds of a college basketball season. I think the average fan doesn't really understand how long the season is and how difficult it can be between balancing school and travel and tough league games and weather and different things like that. This is a tough time of year, and a lot of young teams will struggle on the road this time of year, even as talented as Kansas is.
We are hooping it up with Mo Cassera this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we fly through the fastest 2 hours in radio. And the one team, Mo, we wanted to invite you on, we got to get your perspective on, of course, is Wichita State. What an incredible job that Greg Marshall has done in such a short period of time. Last year, they were 30-9, 12-6, and of course, led Wichita State, the Shockers, to the men's Final Four. Just your overall assessment of what he has been able to accomplish there in Wichita.
Well, Greg is a tremendous coach. He's won everywhere he's been. I got to know him years ago when he was the head coach at Winthrop, and nobody back then had probably heard of Winthrop, and they won a lot of games there, and then he's done a tremendous job at Wichita State. I think as you look at them and their resume heading into March, some people around the country are going to be a little skeptical. They don't have a lot of great wins, but they have been able to be undefeated, and that's a tremendous accomplishment in itself. So I think there's going to be some people around the country that aren't really sure how good they are. Do they deserve a number one versus, say, a Wisconsin? If Wisconsin wins the Big Ten championship and those two teams are put up against each other, you would say, hey, Wisconsin's got a lot more wins. But Wichita State, what they've done throughout the year is just tremendous. To go undefeated at any level in any league is a great accomplishment.
Okay, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much, Mo. Once again, a very special thank you to Mo Casera, ESPN analyst, and all of our guests in our lineup tonight. Jason, Peter, Ken Davis, award-winning sports writer and author, Bob Berry Jr. with News Channel 4 out of Oklahoma City, Bill Ingram, the senior NBA analyst with BasketballInsiders.com, and Greg Peterson. Remember, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.